Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show.
Can't help you when you're old. She's got the cushion for the pushing of the love so true. When she's talking to me, she's looking at you. She says there is no other, no need to question why. She's always on the phone talking to another. Up, better watch out for the train.
John and Jane on the line. I'm going to do a short intro, and then John's going to take over the show. Tonight we will discuss the rules set up for the Senate trial regarding the impeachment. Some people disagree that there are not sufficient documents available, and part of the reason is the White House is trying to control some aspect of releasing of those documents. And also they're blocking the availability for some testimony, especially Mick Mulvaney, the director of the Office of Management and Budget, who would pretty much know quite a bit. Lawyers for President Trump did argue Saturday that he had valid reasons for withholding military aid, and the House prosecutors overlooked facts that are more favorable to his case. That's because the lawyers have the floor today from the White House counsel, and they have the floor for at least 24 hours in which they haven't presented everything they're going to do. They also have the floor on Monday. In a two-hour presentation that reserved their most provocative attacks, which will take place Monday, members of the Trump's legal team echoed the president's justifications for his actions, which sought to plant doubts about both the prosecutor's case and the advocate Adam Schiff. Yet, in arguing that the case for Trump's removal was partisan and misleading, lawyers for the president omitted facts, presented claims that lacked content, or minimized evidence gathered by the House investigators. And by the way, I'm hoping our co-hosts don't do that tonight. Their most sweeping arguments did not specifically defend Trump, but instead framed impeachment as no more than a politically motivated event to remove him from the ballot in November. Now, that's key information, because if he's not on the ballot, then he basically becomes powerless. Now, I want to just read one more small little paragraph. It's not even a paragraph, it's just one statement. The impeachment managers had 24 hours over 3 days to make their arguments against Trump. Trump's attorneys were given the same amount of time to make their case for the acquittal. And they, as I said, they'll continue on Monday. Senators will then have 16 cumulative hours to ask questions of the House managers and the defense team in writing, after which the Senate will vote on whether to provide documents and witnesses in the trial that the Republican and Democratic lawmakers have wanted. So I'm going to pull John in, and then hopefully somebody else will be on board right now. I have to look back inside the studio to see who is calling. One moment, please. Hi, John.
Hello, Jane, and welcome to America, the land of the free.
The freedom to negate information and wonder where the rest of it is. So,
yes.
John's been spouting off on the text and stuff, and now they're not here. So where are they?
Oh, he's probably gathering some evidence. He's trying to get some more witnesses and documents, because apparently a case went to court, or to trial, or whatever you want to call it, to the Senate, without enough evidence or witnesses or documents. So it's kind of weird. I've never known that. You go to court and like, you know what? I need more evidence and witnesses, but here's my case. So let's find out as we go along. Have you ever heard of that, Jane?
Not exactly in the lower level courts. I haven't heard of that, no.
I've never heard of that. Like, you know, we don't have enough evidence in the middle of the case. Let's see if we can get more evidence. I've heard, you know, people saying trying to retry something, but yeah, it's kind of amazing.
Well, I guess if they're going to have a formal trial, and by the way, Wade just called in, then all the ducks should be in a row. I'm tired of watching testimony, I mean, just the spouting off part of it, like the pre-trial stuff, like who thinks what is valid, who thinks what is not valid. I just want to hear the witnesses now. The other stuff is boring to me. So I did see an article online about how some Senate Republican thinks the trial is boring, and I sort of agree with them.
Well, part of the thing that's problematic is basically one witness was presented, and an actual, firsthand. The rest have all been secondhand. The firsthand was Sondland. He basically said there was no quid pro quo. Then he said later on, second time, he said there was. And then the third time they asked him, well, what do you mean? What did the president say? And he said, no quid pro quo, and also I don't want anything, just tell Zelensky to do the right thing. So he basically denied his own
statement. I did
statement,
watch that clip, that exact
yeah,
same clip you just...
Right, right. So yeah. When they go to witnesses, this is the witness they have, if you can understand this. Like, what did you see at the crime? Well, he said he didn't do the crime, but that's the claim. So that's the problem. Trump basically has been investigated for 3 years. He asked about investigating someone, and he got investigated for asking about investigating someone. So it's kind of, is anyone ever going to investigate these other people? They seem really focused on Trump.
Well, I don't think right now, because the focus is on Trump right now. Whether he's guilty or innocent, they're not thinking about other people.
Apparently
now, I
not.
Did
yeah.
watch a special on Trump this last week. I only got through section one. They had to petition the city of New York to remodel the Hotel Commodore, and Ivana Trump, his first wife, helped redecorate all the rooms and did an excellent job. So it was talking about his old days. Now, I think he was pretty suave back then, even though people think his dissenters think he's kind of a bullshitter. But at least in those days, he was better looking and had more swagger. Now, I know I'm jumping away from the topic, but all I'm saying is back in the old days, he had game.
Well, this is a very interesting thing, because if you look at...
Oh, Wade, you're on the line, by the way.
Oh, hey. Should we say hi to Wade?
Hi, Wade.
Hey, everybody. All right, John.
It's just
I'll
us three so far.
Okay, cool.
That's okay.
I don't know what happened to Don. Maybe he fell asleep all of a sudden.
He'll join us, I'm sure, sooner or later. But one thing, when you're having a case, you always have to say, what was the crime and who was the victim? So you go, well, what was the crime? Was it quid pro quo? It's like, they didn't charge that. But what would have been the victim in it? Because this is what it's all about, right? The phone call, the whistleblower saying, there's a problem here. I didn't hear the phone call, but I've heard about the phone call. And I'm blowing the whistle, and then he called a couple other people, and then they pushed this. The other thing, so who's the victim? Well, Ukraine, the president, because he's just talking to the president. Well, what did the president say? He said, I was unaware that aid was being withheld. So digest that. They're saying that a drug deal went down, but the guy that was part of the deal didn't even know the deal was happening. This is what he's told everyone. Now, what's very interesting, there's a fun little book, and it's called Profiles of Corruption. A little fun fact, because you may not know about this. Joe Biden has a couple brothers, James Biden and Frank Biden. Now, an interesting thing is James Biden started a construction company. Once you know, he has no experience in construction, but a month later, he gets his company name and everything, and he immediately gets contracts to go building in Iraq. He later gets a $22 million to go building in Saudi Arabia. Now, Frank, his other brother, well, he starts an energy company. Does it sound familiar? He has no experience whatsoever. He goes to Costa Rica, and he goes to Jamaica, man. Woo! This is
when you're
exciting.
Done, John, I have something to add. Go ahead.
he gets these deals. How does he get these deals? He has no experience, and they're politically connected to someone named Joe Biden. Now, they also have a sister, Valerie Biden.
Are you only
going to
talk about the Bidens or the trial?
Well, we were talking, the trial is about corruption in Ukraine. And, we'll get off that subject because that's
okay,
what the
Okay, well, let me just ask you something quick. In
yeah.
week two, at least 9 government officials and diplomats testified, including Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman, the top Ukrainian specialist on the National Security Council, Gordon Sondland, as we already discussed, the U.S. ambassador to the EU, and Fiona Hill, formerly the top Russia specialist on the NSC National Security Council. The first week of public hearings saw testimony from acting U.S. Ambassador to Ukraine Bill Taylor, State Department official George Kent, and former U.S. Ambassador Marie Yovanovitch. I just want to read one more thing, please.
Go for it.
Colonel Vindman said in the second week, he was the top Ukrainian expert, he said he offered firsthand accounts of Trump's July phone call and described them as inappropriate and unusual. Vindman, an immigrant and Purple Heart recipient, gave an emotionally open statement highlighting his sense of duty and love of country while still fielding criticism from Republicans on his patriotism. Kurt Volker, the former U.S. envoy to the Ukraine, and Tim Morrison, a former National Security Council official, did discuss that Trump's defense had a lot of holes in it. So did you research any of those people, or were you only focused on the top few?
Well, actually, no, because the issue is going to that point. They don't mention any crimes. And it's certainly not a crime to remove the president. They don't like his policies. They don't like his style. And that's fine. I didn't like that when Obama became president, he fired all the ambassadors all over the world, just fired them. Like, whoever he didn't like, no reason, just they're gone.
Every president gets to pick, they get to handpick their own ambassadors, John.
Yeah.
Like Shirley Temple Black was picked in
the '50s
to be England's ambassador. Every president does that, and we are going to let Wade talk too.
He has that right to withhold aid. He did it with Pakistan. He did it with Afghanistan. He did it with South Korea. He did it.
But he didn't ask for something back.
Wait a second. What about the wall? All these Central American countries, right? With Mexico, with El Salvador, with, you know, Guatemala. He said, hey, I want you to, you know, beef up your security. I want you to cut down on this or that. I'm not going to get you this aid. We're going to start putting tariffs on you. A president has that right to put foreign policy as president. That's why he's the commander in chief. That's his job. So
yeah, but
he's just doing this.
I do think that you are making valid points, but you're also kind of, I'm not saying you're scheming things, but they're not allowed. Even if he wanted to, he could have masked it through another agent, but he definitely sent Giuliani over there to get dirt on a United States presidential candidate who was his rival.
Well, what was his mandate when he came to office? He said, I'm going to investigate corruption in Ukraine. That was one of the things he talked about over 2 years before, long before this thing
but
came up.
But it is against the U.S. Constitution that you cannot solicit from a foreign government information about a U.S. citizen.
Well, actually, you know, that's an interesting point because that's exactly what was done on you bring the point. The Obama administration spent a couple of years investigating Donald Trump before he became president. That's what happened. That's what the FISA is all about. They were investigating him through a foreign nation. Everything you're talking about is exactly what they've been doing.
They didn't do it through a foreign agent, though.
the five eyes. Remember? Did you know about Joseph Mifsud and about Halper and about the whole Christopher Steele dossier? That all came in from Europe, the five eyes. We use that to back the
What do you mean by the five eyes?
You don't know what the five eyes are?
No, I don't.
Well,
clue
I
me
don't
in.
Either, yeah.
And I work 100 hours a week. I don't have time. I don't have the luxury to research everything.
Well, you know about Vindman and Sunland and Homeland.
Yes, I know about all that shit.
The five eyes are the UK. They're the Asian countries. They're Canada. I think New Zealand too. Basically, five countries that are five groups, I should put it, that we all surveil for each other, and so we overlook things. So here's the deal: I can't surveil you, right? What I can do is I can say Jane knows some Russian, and she knows a friend in Minnesota who's from Somalia or somewhere. He's Muslim. Oh, they're friends. Oh. Well, and she's from another country. Oh, well, let me check into one of our agents in the Middle East. And they go, yeah, so-and-so, we're just checking. We have a FISA warrant. And who do they talk to? Well, this person at one point protested in a thing with the Muslim Brotherhood. And go, oh, well, who are all her friends? And they go, oh, da-da-da-da-da. And they go, oh, and she knows Jane Hoffman. Oh, now I can put a warrant to surveil Jane because you know someone who knows someone who's from the Middle East or wherever. That's what they did with Trump. They backdoored him.
Don't you think there's been subversive government officials trying to speculate on Bernie Sanders too? And
well,
his personal intent?
Yes. Actually, Bernie, that is an issue because a lot of Bernie voters actually voted for Trump because they were pissed off with what Hillary Clinton did to him. In fact, some are even talking if he wins the candidacy and he gets snuffed out like he did the last time, they may cross lines just to spite the Democratic Party. That would be an interesting thing, but I don't know if Bernie's going to get that far. He's surging right now.
Mm-hmm. I don't think the character and the well-being of Bernie Sanders is any reflection on Donald Trump.
I already I won't want Bernie because of what he says he stands for. They don't need dirt on him. It's like, I don't want bigger government and more higher taxes and stuff. But I know a lot of people like him. At least he's not like Obama. I mean, Obama's saying like we should base our decisions on leadership based on gender. Like that's terrible. And this is what I don't like about a lot of Democrat leaders. He flat out says that. You don't hear Republicans saying you should vote for men. Men are better leaders. But you do hear like Obama saying, oh, only vote for women. You know, vote against someone just based on their gender.
Well, at least Bernie, I will say, is consistent. I will give him that. He's always been a socialist, always will be a socialist. He will die a socialist. He's lived as a socialist. But now, a very interesting thing is that one is the whole case is not getting a lot of interest. It's getting half the ratings of soaps. It's getting half the ratings of Kavanaugh, the Cohen thing, the Comey trial. Basically, people aren't really tuning into it. Now, here's a very important point. Think of this: if you're a senator, Republican or Democrat. You've worked your whole life. You are basically one out of a million because there's 100 in the Senate. There's about 300-something in the House. So about 450 to 500 people involved. And there's 300 and, 80 or 30 million Americans. So you're a little under one in a million or one and a half a million to get to that point. Now, here's the key. You've spent your whole life. This is your career. This is your job. This is what you do. And you find out as a Republican, 90% of the base is solid Trump. Like, no matter what, you know, he could shoot someone on Fifth Street. They're still going to vote for Donald Trump. Are you going to vote for an impeachment knowing that 90% of his base will never, you know, fail him, and that you're up for reelection? I mean, that's going to be the end of your career. The only way you're going to vote against him is if there's a smoking gun in his hand. I mean, would you risk your whole career as a teacher or as a, you know, whatever your trade is, just on the whim that maybe maybe we interpret what he intended? We don't know what he intended, but we're kind of guessing.
I can answer that question.
Go for it.
I just wanted to mention that Lev Parnas from the Government Accountability Office shows a report that the White House did break the law by withholding funds from the Ukraine. Like, they have a timetable. But I risked my life this week for my job. I basically quit a job because of the way that the management style was being evoked. But it was only a 25-hour-a-week position. But while I was in that position for 4 years, I witnessed a lot of stuff that was illegal. Like, there were false police reports made against an employee they wanted to get rid of. There was a false claim made against a special ed aide regarding a student that was later dropped, but it was used as discriminating evidence against that aide until that person got terminated. And even the school liaison officer lied and cheated in order to protect the principal. So sometimes,
even if Donald Trump didn't
know what he was doing when he got into office, and his kind of casual, you know, like hand-swinging style about screw this and screw that, he doesn't really say that, but it's like, it's going to go down this way or it's going to go down that way. Like, eventually you find yourself in trouble if you're a little too casual.
Well, going to your point, you have other jobs, right? You have two or three jobs, right?
I have two jobs, and I quit the one that was only one job. I work 60 hours a week, and the other job, 25. I quit
right.
the lower one.
That was a bonus job. You had backup jobs. As a congressperson, you're either a senator or in the House. That's it. You know, like, if you get ousted by, you have to switch parties. There's no other way to go. There's not like, oh, I have five other senator jobs I can get. It's like, you get kicked out for being a Republican. You know, you're kind of screwed, pretty much. That's your only job. It's like, yeah, I have five senator jobs. No, I have one. And, you know, I represent California or whatever. It takes you years to get that leverage in that position. Oh, now I'm going to go over to another state. I mean, you could do it, but I'm just saying that's working without a net. Now, to Lev Parnas, that situation,
right.
Actually, Trump had until the end of September to make his decision. So he didn't break any laws. He actually complied ahead of time. He did give also Javelin missiles, which weren't a part of the aid. He gave that to Ukraine so they could fight the Russians. Barack Obama never gave them weapons. He gave them blankets. And that's the fact.
I don't believe that fully. I have to look that up.
I would research that, but yet Donald Trump gave him the missiles.
Are you saying Barack Obama never gave the Ukraine military aid, even when he was in 2014 during the big crisis?
He gave them no Javelin missiles, and he gave them blankets and aid, like such as medical supplies, some food, you know, that kind of stuff. So. You can research it, see if I'm in error, but I'm just telling you that's what's been going out on the air, and no one's, you know, rebuffing it. So, in fact, I'll look that up while we talk.
Well, I'm gonna look it up.
What is the amendment, or where in the Constitution? So the law that he broke. So you're not allowed to have any foreign agency investigate anyone. What amendment? Where is that? So I can check on that.
What was that, Wade?
I think the concept is that you're not supposed to let a foreign nation interfere in the election process. And so they're saying he's trying to interfere to a foreign. And what I'm saying is that he said, do us a favor, you know, look into into CrowdStrike, into the past election, not the future, the past with the Hillary Clinton server. And then Zelensky brought up, we've met, Giuliani, and we need, we can look into Ukraine. It expanded from there. But here's the key is that Trump never said in the conversation, if you don't investigate, you will not get aid. He never said that. That's part of the deal. That's the contract. It's unlike Biden, who said, if you don't fire this guy, you don't get the money. So I would ask the question to you, Jane, or anyone, where did Trump say he would not give them money if they didn't investigate? Because he gave them money and they didn't investigate. It's actually the opposite.
Okay,
of
I
what
have to
saying.
Answer both questions, but the first one is Trump was the one who insulted Obama by saying Obama only gave him pillow and sheets. But the facts are is that Barack Obama gave $100 million in security assistance as well as a significant amount of defense and military equipment.
I'll have to check that.
Including counter-mortar radars, night vision devices, and medical supplies, according to Pentagon Defense Security Cooperation Agency.
Let's check it out.
So you must only be reading Donald Trump's tweets and not reading any deeper, at least on that particular subject.
Let's check it out. Did Obama give Javelin missiles?
And they also gave them 230 armored Humvee vehicles.
What Ukraine wanted was the Javelins because it can bust a tank, and you can walk, you can go there. It's basically almost handheld. You can run out there by, like, a soldier by himself can go out there. They didn't need planes and this and tanks and things. That was too, it was too cumbersome for what they wanted to do. Kind of like a terrorist. They want to be able to send guys all over the place. They can run around in a Jeep, jump out with this missile thing, and bust up tanks. So that's what he approved for them. But let me do a little more
research. I just found that part.
Nice.
In the past, Trump had given the same things on Obama, but recently he gave sniper rifles, rocket launchers, and Javelin anti-tank missiles, something long sought by Kiev, which is the capital.
Uh-huh. And he gave them the real deal stuff, is what I'm saying. But, you know, even
so
even
more people,
you know, even
can die.
He can't win either way, right? If he doesn't give him aid, he's evil.
I'm just making
aid,
a joke. Don't take it too seriously. So let's talk to Wade about this. Wade, what's your feedback on what we've discussed in the last 5 minutes?
Well, you know, I need to get the details. I haven't done as much research as you guys about, like, what Obama gave and such like that. Someone has brought up a good point that I would want to know more about, is that there seems to be a lack of there's a lot of talk about Democrats' leadership and a lot of crimes they're doing, and they don't get investigated. That there's a bias that like you get Denise D'Souza thrown in jail for something everybody's doing.
Don, you're on the line.
And
yeah, go ahead, Wade.
There's a lack of investigating the Democrats. Like that, for some reason, no one will investigate them.
You know,
I was wondering if
actually, Wade, there's criticism on both sides. A lot of the Democrats are being criticized too for the way they're handling the trial and the evidence they're presenting.
Oh, yeah.
Now, one thing the media hasn't focused on is the squad, except for AOC. She's gotten some publicity about her congressional campaign, but other than that and her endorsing Bernie, they haven't really talked about the squad lately and how they're reacting to this trial. But
yeah, well, I mean,
now that we're in the
investigation.
Don Gallimore is on the line. Say hi, everybody.
Hey, Don.
Hi, everybody.
Let the games begin.
Yeah.
Were you napping?
No, I was, oh God. Okay, I just.
You were fighting like a dog on text, and then all of a sudden you disappeared.
Right, because I've been booking my flight to go see Tom Steyer and the political parties down in Las Vegas. So I'll be leaving at 6:20 on my flight to Las Vegas to
in the morning. Tomorrow morning.
Right. Yes. And so.
Well, we're probably not going to make the show longer than an hour then. Because
No,
I have a terrible cold.
That's fine.
By the way, Obama did deny sending Javelin missiles to Ukraine. He was afraid that the Russians would get hold of it. So Trump gave Javelin missiles, and this was separate from the other aid. He did not withhold that. He gave them military assistance. Obama denied Javelin missiles, which they needed critically to stop the tanks. Go ahead.
But you got to understand, John, that was in the height of the Russian invasion. Those Javelin missiles, Obama denied the Javelin missiles because they were in the height of the Russian incursion.
Well, that's where they would need them the most. If you're getting attacked, you need the missiles.
No, that's
give them to
them.
But I think at that point, Russia was dominating. The Ukrainian leader had already kind of escaped. And it was mayhem.
You hear what I'm saying? Someone's getting attacked, they're critically in need, and you don't give them the weapons, and then you accuse Trump of helping them.
You don't give anybody weapons when they're being beaten down. This is before the prime minister. So you don't give them the weapons because they get taken, and then they get killed. By our own weapons.
So you let the Russians beat them, is what you're saying. You helped
Well, how
the
would
Russians,
they have gotten
helped?
The weapons in there?
You can't
they would have had to fly them over and then sneak them through the border.
Well, how do they get them over now?
I don't know.
They're free.
Did they take over the Ukraine? You've sent them over.
No,
with
free.
They didn't take
John,
over the country.
Now it's free. It's free because we have a prime minister in power who can get the javelins in the country. Before,
okay, what I'm saying is, where are the Russians? The Russians are at the border. They have a small portion, right? They took Crimea. So here's the thing.
Crimea.
Did they take over all of the Ukraine?
No. John, they have the eastern border, too. They have incursions in the eastern part of Ukraine and Crimea, and they're trying to get the western part so they don't get oil, the Ukrainian oil, over to Poland and the UK.
So did they ever own all of the western side of the Ukraine?
Yes.
They owned it all.
No, they didn't own it
they
all.
Did.
But they did.
Well, that's where you send the weapons, where they don't own it.
That's what we're fighting for, so they don't own it.
You're not making sense. Let me make this simple for you, okay?
I'm going to look it up while you guys are talking. How do they get the weapons in the country?
Let me make this simple. Let's say right now the Russians have 20% or 40% or 30% of the Ukraine, and they've never had 100%. Let's say that 50%, let's say 10% of the Ukraine was never taken over by the Russians. All I'm saying is what you do back then, you send the Javelin missiles to that 10% or 50% or 60%. And you're saying they couldn't get it to them because...
I think what he's saying is that there was not one particular group in a faction in power. And the people that were causing the revolution, and they may not have been obviously found. They weren't in power. The other guy was still in power.
So Trump gives the javelins to the Ukraine regardless of the other.
But Zelensky's in power. And that's what he's trying to say.
Trump
didn't give shit to anybody until he was forced. He made a mistake. He fucked up. He said, no, I'm not going to give him shit. And then he got caught, and then he had to give him something. He didn't give him shit.
Well, that's your story. However, as I told Jane earlier, he also withheld aid from Pakistan, from South Korea, from Afghanistan, from Central America, Mexico, and El Salvador, and Guatemala,
because he wanted to get help at the border. He put it in his own pocket. He put it in his own pocket.
Wait a minute.
Well, you're making
in March of 2018, Trump approved a $47 million sale of 210 Javelin anti-tank missiles and 37 launchers to the Ukraine. Some of the Javelins are handheld, and our Army practices with them in the Jordan area.
It went into his pocket.
John,
it went to a bunch
of pussy.
Her pussy has all the damn rockets. They're in her pussy. But come on, you guys.
John, don't talk like that, Don. I don't want to hear that kind of language on the show.
He gave it to a salmon.
Here goes, Don.
All the money, the tax reforms, all that money went into his own pocket.
Don,
guess what I just discovered? The Javelin missiles were not part of the $250 million military aid package to the Ukraine that's at the center of the controversial Trump call that triggered a formal impeachment inquiry.
That's what I just been saying. It had nothing to do with
that. Then why did you bring it up, John? Because you wanted to make Obama look bad again.
John, you're paying for John.
Trump.
You're paying for Donald Trump. You're paying for Donald Trump. All your money you're making right now is going into
your deep state, Don. Just admit it. You love the deep state. You love these wars.
They're all white people.
You're claiming. Wait a second, Don. Hear me out.
They're white people.
Hear me out.
They suck. They suck.
There you go again.
White people.
With the white people.
Democrats.
Okay. Here you go.
Republicans.
Yeah.
They suck.
I'm going to mute both of your asses.
White people suck. John,
separated
white people suck.
I'm muting
white
Don
people
so I can finish
white
the statement.
Suck. They suck.
Don, can you be quiet for a minute while I can read this?
Go for it.
Okay, the Javelin is a fire-and-forget weapon that allows the gunner to fire the weapon and then immediately take cover. The Javelin uses its infrared guidance system to travel toward the target. With a range of 2,500 to 4,000 meters, the missile is designed to strike, so they're not very big. The Javelin Close Combat Missile System is a man-portable, medium-range, tactile missile system that provides the U.S. Army and Marine Corps with precision direct fire effects. The missile and its launcher, the command launch unit, together weigh 48 pounds, while the missile alone weighs 33 pounds. So we answered one question tonight. They're not that heavy, and they're easy to transport.
Yeah.
And they've been sold to 18 nations, including the Ukraine, France, Qatar, Turkey, and the United Arab Emirates.
And what we've been hearing.
Democratic white people suck.
All right, Don, go to bed and take your fucking plane, because we're not starting a race war tonight.
Oh, that's okay.
If you say white people suck one more time, I'm muting you.
Democrats suck.
Suck my
balls. I'm not going to separate people by race because this isn't about race. I don't care about that stuff. What I'm here to say is that all we've been hearing is that Trump is Putin's bitch, and we have been saying that he weakened the Ukraine by withholding this aid. And what the point you just proved is, no, he gave them something that will attack Putin.
Democrats
and he didn't withhold it from them. He didn't put it conditional on anything.
Don, you're muted for 3 minutes.
And I
have friends listening to this show. No, I think Don's overtired and he wasn't going to call in anyway. So, Don, I'll let you back in if you talk rational.
Well,
John, finish your sentence, and I'll bring him back in.
Well, this is a key point. Don likes to separate by race, and he goes to that point every time. The point is, in regards to this, is Trump is helping the Ukraine. He likes to, and here's the bigger point no one's talked about. He's always complained with the UN, with the NATO, and with Ukraine that other countries are not contributing. Germany, France, Italy, the United Kingdom. And that's, if you listen to the whole conversation, he's complained that, like, we need to have other, like,
I saw part of that clip on Trump and the complaint.
He's very consistent. This isn't just some special deal he did for Ukraine. He does it with everyone. Like, do we have to give money to the NATO? So much money. Where's their share?
Don, you're back on the air.
He's gotten over $500 billion from these other countries to contribute to their share, their dues in NATO. And again, going back to these other countries, Mexico.
I do
want
to make a point, though, John. We did sell the Javelin. We gave $250 million in aid, but we also sold the Javelin weapon to United Arab Emirates, the Ukraine, and other places, Qatar, they call it, but I call it Qatar. So we did make a profit off of it.
That's why that's smart. Isn't it dumb just to give stuff away?
Yeah.
You should be happy about that. America first.
There should be strings attached. There should, right? I mean, like, yeah.
Don, you're on the air.
Yeah,
go
don't
ahead,
give
Wade.
Thanks to people that are going to turn around and do that, like I hear happens a lot.
Well, I have a question for you guys in Yemen. Just because we sell the military equipment to Yemen, they consider the U.S. terrible people because it's our bombs and our weapons that are killing people, and our name is on the firepower, and they see that after the villagers die.
Yeah, that's a problem. We should care, you know. We should take sides, and we should care what the weapons are being used for. Absolutely. You know, I worry. I'm afraid to know about a lot of stuff our military's doing and, you know, where weapons are going toward.
It's not all about profit and loss. Like, there are consequences.
Exactly.
Now, I have a friend in Duluth who served in the active military and now is in the reserve. And, like, the United States used to go in and train Central Americans how to fight. Well, now the Chinese are going into all those second and third world countries and teaching those less fortunate countries how to fight. So they are stepping up in their superpower powers to compete with us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd like to see us.
And let's say China goes into like Guatemala and teaches them how to fight, do guerrilla warfare. What if they're offering more than we are, and the loyalty switches to that to Chinese?
Well,
that's funny.
I'd like to get
because
out of
you're right. They're getting into South America. They're getting into Africa. They're teaching them how to fight. The superior people in the world are learning how to fight from the Chinese. So now we've got that's going to be coming out because black people are, the Caribbean and South Americans who have black blood and Indian blood, they're superior fighters. So we're coming out, and it's coming to the Chinese. That's a very good
point. What's going to happen, Don? Who are they going to fight, us?
Of course. That's what the Chinese
are. They going to cross the border and there's going to be a war in the U.S.-Mexican border?
This has nothing to do with the border because we are diminishing our powers. With a president like this, we're diminishing our powers because he's betting on the losing side. So there are other countries. Africa is the upcoming country. South America, they're the upcoming countries, continents in the world. And so
I'll be right back, you guys. I have to check on something.
The Chinese have bet on those countries to be superior, and they're right. And so they're betting on them to succeed, and that's why they're putting their monies into those countries. But this is 200 years down the road.
Well, who's putting tariffs on the Chinese? Who's actually the hardest person on the Chinese?
Yeah, but it's a good thing because the Chinese were getting putting together the new central bank. We were going to have a two-third central bank. And it's good that they, deposed them so far. But the bottom line is the Chinese aren't going to stop. They've got a billion and a half people. It's about, John, you're not understanding. It's about numbers. It's about people. People overcome all the bomb, all the chemical warfare, all the diseases. They overcome everything, except of course solar flares. But the numbers are what it's all about. And right now, white people are dying because they don't have sex. They go to the internet and they just depend on porn, and they don't have sex. And everybody else is having sex, having babies, and making larger population, and this is what it's all about. So the bombs, guns, and everything else don't matter.
So you're saying that white race is going to die out?
That's what the white nationalists are worried about. So it's kind of the same thinking as them. There's also the talk of the K versus R strategy. So some cultures have lots of children and, you know, don't raise them as carefully. Other cultures, you know, like there's the rabbits that just have lots of babies and don't watch after them very closely. And there's the wolves that, like, they bond for life. They have few children and they train those children very, very well to be very shrewd and tough and hunting. And so, you know, sometimes people see that applied to cultures too, where some cultures have a lot of children. But the more children you have in a family, the harder, you know, the less attention you can give to each child, the less you can make sure they're well trained to survive in the world.
All right, but if you have 10 children who are idiots, they eat lead paint, and the water is contaminated, and you have one of those children who comes out, and you have a family with two children, and they're smarter than shit, but they get messed up by, you know, one of them by drugs, and one of them can't get a job. Then you have multiply that by 100,000, or, you know, 200,000. Then you've got a whole bunch of more kids out of 10 families that have the one kid than those, you know, 0 or 10,000 that have two kids that are smart as hell, but they don't make it out. Then the numbers just exacerbate. They extrapolate.
Well, that doesn't sound like
more of that one family with 10 kids than the one family with two kids that
don't
make.
You're not describing very good case strategy then. You know, I mean, if they have
there is
kids,
no strategy. There is no strategy, Wade. This is not about strategy.
Yeah, people choose.
This is about making
people
love.
People do. People use strategy.
It's about making love. It's about making
I have an overarching
right,
question.
What happens after the children are born? How are they raised?
They're not raised. Wait, they're not raised.
Oh, well, okay, well, that's a problem. people who raise their kids carefully are better set up for success.
It's a problem for you. It's not a problem.
I have a question.
That ultimately has one kid that becomes the president of the United States.
If Trump is so aligned with Russia, how does Putin feel about us giving aid to the Ukraine to fight them?
Probably not good. Yeah, that wouldn't make sense, right?
Right, like if Trump has some kind of connection, how does Putin feel about us supporting the Ukraine versus Mother Russia? Nobody has an answer to that, including John.
It doesn't make sense. That's the point I've been saying, is that Trump isn't Putin's bitch. I mean, you can try to make that point,
yeah.
But the facts I'm saying don't reflect that. But a question I have, really going back to Don, is because I actually, he's half right, is how are all the poor people in the world going to counteract the Rothschilds and all the power elites and that have a certain bloodline? Bloodlines are very important. I've been looking at the royal families. They all have to be the duchesses of this and of that. Even Prince Philip, he called himself a meaningless amoeba, that basically they had to keep Queen Elizabeth, the House of Windsor, and he couldn't use his family name because it wasn't of the right bloodline or power to warrant that. And these are the people that make the rules. I mean, that set up the money in the banks and, call it the Illuminati if you want. Call it whatever you want. But how is that going to be affected by anything that someone in Mexico or Africa or even China, to a certain degree, do when you have these power elite, and they're the ones making the deals. The central banks. Every country has a central bank, and we have the Federal Reserve. And again, who's attacking the Federal Reserve? Donald Trump. No one else is attacking the Federal Reserve. What you guys
and that's,
right,
and that's okay for right now. Right now, in our era in history, Donald Trump is the king, and we have to live with that, and it's fine. The bottom line is that we're not a democratic experiment, Republican experiment. We're not an experiment right now for Donald Trump. He's here. He's done his thing. And that's, and we're glad for it because he's changed things around. He's increased the conversation. And that's a good thing because we were getting, as Americans, complacent. We were getting run down. We were, as I said, I went to Europe. And in France and Italy, they're dying because they're tired. They've been a warmongering culture for centuries, and they're ready to die. They're willing to they're willing to die. As old people, if you've ever been around old people, there are some of them who are
actually tired. Europe has not directly gone to war since 1945.
Right, but the thing is that they've been
involved
so
with special operations, but they're not at war.
It's like black people. We're tired. Black people are tired because we have been at war with white people since 1776. All right.
Well, in Nigeria, there's plenty of warfare, and it's mainly religious warfare, and the Boko Haram are killing Christians.
Right.
But there are warring factions in Africa, not many, but in Nigeria there is.
Yeah, but they're coming to America because they're tired of it. That's why we've got all these refugees, because they're tired of what's going on in their countries. Romania, Turkey.
That's why
Syria.
My Liberian family came, because of the civil war.
Liberia, Lebanon, they're all coming out to the United States because they're tired of all these wars. We don't need, if you're Christian, you don't need these wars. But they're not Christian, so they've got
not
these wars.
Some are, some aren't.
Most aren't.
The Christians can't lay down and die when the extreme Muslims are attacking Syria and Lebanese. Now, I have to make an announcement quick. My main phone died, my land phone, so no, I had to call in on my cell phone, but we still have about 30 minutes left, so keep talking.
No, all I'm saying is that people are getting tired, and America is changing because the world is coming here, and Americans are dying, and so we've got infusions of immigrants, and they're coming here. If you notice all the announcers on TV, they're from Australia and England and Russia. These people aren't even from America anymore. We're not listening to the people in the media. They're not Americans. We're not listening to the people in politics. They're not Americans. These are not truly a base of Americans. These are people from all over the world, because we are the last bastion of love and honor, and we can't have anyone in politics take that away from us right now. And that's what's happening.
Yeah.
Well, the only two candidates, Tulsi Gabbard says she wants to pull troops from all over, like the Middle East in general, like if it's not for a specific war purposes. And Trump, too. What other candidate is a peacemaker that wants to rule through peace and prosperity? I mean, as far as their platform, like they're giving speeches about.
No, that's where we have people like Tom Steyer. Okay. I just came from a Tom Steyer. It was an opening of his office in Northern Nevada. And I'll be flying down. He's flying me down to Las Vegas tomorrow, and we're going to have a Tom Steyer forum. And then we're going to have a presidential forum, so I'll be down there for 2 days after tonight. And the bottom line is that we need a breath of fresh air. We need somebody who's going to be able to take in both sides and make sure that the people come first. The American people have to come first. This is America. This is a democracy that's an experiment. And nobody knows how it's going to look. But we can't take it from one side to the other. Right now, we're polarized. We are on opposite sides of the fence. And if we keep doing that, it's a civil war, period. And we need some kind of candidate. And we don't need a 78, 76, 70, 68-year-old candidate who's going to take us into the near future. You know, we've got Trump, Sanders, Warren, Biden. These are all old people, and they're all probably going to die before we even finish this next term. So we need somebody.
Tom Steyer, is Steyer white?
Oh yeah, he's white as you have to wear sunglasses to look at him. But the bottom line
you're selling out again. You're selling out again, Don, following the white man. Working on the plantation.
No. He's willing to give us reparations. He's willing
to give us. He's a good master.
He's willing to give us tractors to get our 40 acres and a mule back.
But he's white. Does that make him bad still?
So you're going to steal it from me, the Native American Mexican. You're going to steal, and the Amish guy. You're going to steal it from me, right?
It's not stealing, John. It's just getting back what
you're taking from me. You want my slave. You never built my condo, but you want my money, right?
We gave our 40 acres and the mule to you. You got to give it back.
You had 40 acres and a mule taken away from you?
To John.
Yeah.
I would need evidence of this. It was given to John.
All I know is I worked 22 years to pay off my condo. It's worth $600,000, and now you want to take it, but you didn't build it, and you weren't a slave. I would say, and you want the rest of the country, you want to run up to them and take their money too. Don, congratulations. You either need a good attorney or a therapist, but you're not taking my condo. I'm sorry, you're not taking my bank account. Because you didn't earn it. I don't want your money. I don't want Wade's money. I don't want Jane's money. I want what I earn. That's called America, Don. It's not socialism. It's not thievery 101. That's robbing.
Personal
property rights, Don. Personal property rights. My bank account, it's mine. It's not yours. It's not anyone's. Just because of the color of your skin, that's racism. You're not a slave. Now, if I've offended you by, like, stealing from you physically or from your dad and you have a legal case, present it.
And I get it. And I get it, John. Your money is going to Donald Trump. Your money is not going to me. It's not going to anybody else. It's not going to Indians. It's not going to other whites. Your money is going to Donald Trump. That's what you don't understand. That's what you don't know.
I'm getting more money back through Donald Trump than I did before from Obama, Clinton, or Bush. It's always been that way. Always. He's giving me back more. And he's giving back more to you and your African-American brothers and sisters. Those are the facts.
No, as far as federal income tax, yeah, I would be for that. Let's just stop having federal income tax. Yeah, if you want to talk about stolen land, one of the things people should be angry about that nobody ever talks about is the end of homesteading. It's not because we ran out of land. It's because the government decided, no more. You know, it's a human right to go out and use land that nobody's using. If it's not for sale, nobody's using it, nobody's there, you go out and you use it. And the government ended that, and they just claimed all the land. They said, any land that's left is ours. So, you know, have them give that back. And you don't have to take it from people. They could have the government give that back.
Well, that's interesting because, you know, Don, that the Pearson Publishing, they're the ones who got $365 million through Obama to print and publish Common Core for the schools. And then later on, one of the sub-departments of Pearson gave $65 million book advance to Barack Obama. So that's how the laundromat goes. He gets them $365 million to publish books in the school system for Common Core, which you love, and then they give $65 million back to Obama.
That's why I'm talking to Hillary. I hate Common Core. I'm working against
Common Core.
Trump
is your man then.
No. Trump hates Common Core too. That's why he that's why I love Trump on that. I love Trump on that because he's always been against Common Core.
Now we're talking. We're getting somewhere, Don.
we all agree on that. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I've always said that.
And you know the UN Agenda 2030. You've seen the map for the Agenda 21 and 2030. Now, 21, Daddy Bush, Herbert Walker Bush, he came back, and this is 1990 when he was talking about the New World Order. He didn't just, like, pretend. He said it. This is the New World Order. It's the Brotherhood of Man. It's all nations working together, kind of the Antichrist, the beast system. And he brought that back for sustainable development. And then he handed the baton to Bill Clinton. And in 1992, Bill Clinton adapted or enabled the Agenda 21 for sustainable development, which gave companies, construction groups, and the government the authority to start seizing land, putting together projects to herd our populations from the countryside into the city. And just like they're doing here in Santa Monica, they're building nothing but like six-story buildings all over the place by the ocean, along Pico Boulevard and Lincoln, all over the place. That's all you see. They buy up these old homes, and then they're moving. They're shutting down our farmlands, our farmers, all the wild lands. The government's seizing it or flooding it out and declaring it a waste. And the population map, I'm sure you've all seen it. Basically, there'll be nothing in the countryside. We're all going to be just sheep in these boxes. And the government will take over the re-education of our children, which they already have, through climate change. And that from 2005 to 2015, especially through Bush and Obama, all this Common Core stuff started coming up to re-educate our children and to brainwash them. And now I talked to a person yesterday. Her daughter cries herself to sleep. I wanted to give her a plastic bag. I said, you can recycle it. She said, no, my daughter cries at night. It says, Mommy, no more plastic bags. I'm not going to live old enough to have children. Okay. Now, yeah, they told me this in the 80s, that by the year 2000, that the world, everyone would starve because there'd be no more food. And that the ice caps would melt. Now, I've been to the Santa Monica Pier just a couple of days ago. It's the same water level as when I moved here 22 years ago. I'm sorry. It hasn't gotten any further. You still walk 100 yards out, and then you meet the water line, just like it was 22 years ago. But she thinks in another 20 years that she'll be dead. She cries herself to sleep.
Yeah, scared people are easier to control. Isn't that it? You know, keep people afraid and they'll live, you know.
Exactly, Wade. Scared people will die.
I think it's called sheep. Jesus called them sheep without a shepherd, having eyes but not seeing, having ears not hearing. So I'm not even that worried about Donald Trump. I mean, I know we may be upset, some of us, but in 4 years he's gone. Nancy Pelosi and these other, and Mitch McConnell and John Kerry, they've all been there 30 to 40 years. These are the swamp. And not only that, they're not even the problem. It's the beast. It's Agenda 2030. It's the
UN.
By
the way, this sheep is going in the bathtub, so somebody else close the show out.
Okay. Wow. We can do it.
We could have the black sheep do it.
I'm washing my white woolly body with my white privileged bathtub.
Power to the people.
Okay. Thanks.
It's a good thing.
Thanks for calling in, you guys. I'm going to double check one more time if somebody else called in. So just keep talking. Thank you for calling in.
Sure.
Don't drop the soap.
We enjoy it. All right. I was curious. So I heard a comment earlier that there's no strategy.
We have another caller from the 845. Keep talking,
okay.
Wade. I think it might be Naj. But keep talking, Wade.
Make it clear, is it that there's no such thing as raising children, or that it doesn't matter how you raise your children? I wasn't clear on that.
One moment, please, Wade. Who do we have in the queue?
Jane, how are you? It's Mike up in New York.
Oh, hi, Mike.
How
I knew
you?
I recognized the area code.
Yeah, how's everybody doing?
Doing good?
We argued about the impeachment, then we argued about javelin weapons, and then we argued about what countries we should sell arms to, and now we're John can take the floor or wait and tell you what we're talking about now.
Did I make it in time for the cookies? And are we going to have coffee and drinks, soft drinks, or no? Or did I miss that? Did I miss that?
I just ate five chocolate drops because I have a sore throat. But you're the one with the food, so you'll have to send it through the phone.
Right.
I
make it virtual.
Everybody knows Mike except for maybe Wade.
Hey, I think you were on the phone one other time. I was at the airport, and so that was a bad idea. Sorry about that. I think previous discussion, we're getting a lot of noise, so I had to drop out.
Wade had a very good point regarding the education or the re-education of children, partly through Common Core and also through the current trend of climate change, global warming. And the last point I left on was that I work as a cash register at the 99 cent store. And I was going to give a plastic bag to one of the ladies because she was in need, obviously, of it. She had a bunch of groceries. And she said, "Oh, no, I'll put it in the car. I can't take any bags home. It upsets my daughter. She cries herself to sleep because she tells me, Mommy, I'm not going to be able to grow up and have children. The world is ending. No more plastic bags."
Oh,
and I was explaining how in the 80s, I was told that by the year 2000, I have, comic books and biblical tracts that were, where the alarmists were saying by the year 2000 that the ice caps will melt and that half the world's population would starve to death because there'll be no more food to sustain it. And I was mentioning how I moved here about 25 years ago, and how I would go to the Santa Monica Pier, and I was just there a couple of days ago. The water line is still the same. You still walk out about 100 yards, and then you hit the water. It hasn't risen. Half of the world has not starved to death. And I think it probably isn't going to happen in Greta's lifetime either. But kids are being taught this stuff. And part of Agenda 2030 from the UN is to re-educate the children. That's part of the global, originally Agenda 21, brought over by Herbert Walker Bush, who announced in 1990 on TV in front of Congress, this is the new world order, a brotherhood of man, all nations working together. He then handed it to Clinton in 92, who enabled sustainable development, which enabled construction groups and big money investment firms to begin building major buildings within the cities, try to close out or take control of all the countryside and the wild habitat, make it government control, and herd us into these little buildings and control our children with what they're educated through Common Core, and especially the last 2005 to 2015, to just re-educate our children. I think it's partly to alienate the children from the parents because there's no dad and the moms are working. So the school becomes their parent. And that's kind of where we left off. And we'll hand it off to Mike. How's he doing?
Well, I agree with everything that you're saying there. I mean, those of you that remember me, I'm heavily into World War II. I'm a bit of a historian here. And so I've got a completely different perspective because a lot of the schools don't teach the kids. They don't know anything about history where they can draw parallels on anything to really understand a situation. And they base a lot of their opinions and everything on the bullshit they've been taught in school. And it is bullshit. And I'll tell you, even in high school, at one point with my history teacher, I went to an all-boys high school. I'm not going to name it. But I got into a battle with the teacher where the next day I proved him wrong. I brought in books from the Army Historical Society. I brought in unit histories. It was regarding World War II, and I proved him wrong. I proved his book wrong. And then I said to him outright, and it shut the class up. I said, if I can catch you like this, teaching us this is a complete outright lies, then how can we trust anything else that you're teaching us?
Wow.
He had no answer.
Ouch.
Now, it got to the point. We were friendly. He was a little bit weird, but He after that, anything that would do that would touch on World War II, he'd tell me, he'd say, Mike, you know what? You get the next 2 days off, just go somewhere. Just because it was an open campus. He said, just leave. And fine with me. It was a running joke with the class. I mean, he didn't want any grief. And to me, I was too young. I should have said, no, I want to stay right here. I want to see what the propaganda is. But I didn't. I was a kid. And, you know, the big thing at the time, you know, we had soda fountains on the corners at stores, and you could go and I should have stayed. But so these kids don't know. Now, a good friend of mine, his daughter just graduated from a school, a college here in New York. And I live about an hour north of Mordor. So I'm in Westchester County. And she graduated, and he's very conservative. And he said, Mike, in the time that she was at the school, she started to flip and started arguing with me about this and capitalists and all, and about the government and the Republicans and Trump and oh, well, there should. And she started turning socialist. And he said, I saw it. Now, my buddy had just last year, he visited Cuba. And he came back, and the stories he was telling me, was like, you've got to be kidding me. It was, I mean, I applaud them. There are changes that are in motion over there, outstanding. But it's unbelievable, some of the stories that he was telling me, what it's like over there. And they love American tourists. They want that money. If you're an American tourist, you're king. They don't want anything happening to you. The police, they have, like, special police that watch over the tourists to make sure that. He said that he ended up actually saving one guy because they were ready to arrest him. They thought that he was harassing him, and it wasn't. And he stood up for the guy, and he said, he's not harassing me at all. I had some questions for him. We were discussing. The cops were getting ready to take him away. They thought he was bothering the American. They don't want anything affecting, you know, they want American tourists over there. Anyways, so what he did was he took his daughter, and he sent her a couple months ago over to Cuba. He paid for the vacation, everything, sent her over there. And I said, how did it go? He said, in the time that she spent there and came home, the years of indoctrination, just they sort of faded. Because she got a good taste of firsthand of communism, socialism, whatever you want to see, and seeing a different country and seeing a different world and realizing, oh, my God, Bernie's out of his mind.
I'm in favor of, as part of a school, I'm in favor of them, instead of spending all these thousands and thousands of dollars to take one semester and send our kids to a third world country, a socialist country, and
let them
do a summer exchange and have them, and then have them come back and see what they think of America.
Yep. He said it was the best thing, the best money I ever spent. And he said, you know, she graduated summa cum laude. She graduated fine. And he said, but that money that I spent sending her over, that made a complete difference. And he said, in a way, she was embarrassed. And I had a long conversation with her and said, there's no reason to be embarrassed or anything. He said, you have to recognize what you're being dished, what's being given to you. And he said, that's the problem. When you're surrounded with instructors and everything who are leftists, right. And people are stuck. I feel bad. For, you know, somebody, I support Trump. I know he's an egomaniac. I don't give a shit. You know why? Because that mega maniac ego that he's got is going to work in our favor. Because he's determined to leave a legacy that shows that he did good for this country. He did the right thing and everything. Because you can't buy that. You can't buy how historians are going to look at you 100 years from now, 200 years from now. But if he does the right thing because his ego dictated it, son of a bitch, that works for us. So let it happen. I don't care. Give him a pat on the back and everything. His sarcasm and everything, it works because it aggravates the hell out of people who have been ripping us off, following the protocols. They've been very polite and everything else for years and making millions at our expense.
Yeah.
The game is just unbelievable, and people don't see it. I was researching on my own that Atlantic Council group last month. My mouth dropped open. Did you ever really look into that Atlantic Council, that think tank?
Did you have a chalupa sandwich?
Did you have a chalupa sandwich? I wish, boy. I'll tell you. And they have created an industry over the years that the Democrats have been down there. And all the politicians and the Republicans are in on it, too. It's not just one. When it comes down to the paycheck, it doesn't matter what party you're in. These guys are making, they're rock stars. They get elected and they're millionaires at our expense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I hear Giuliani opened up a YouTube and a site, and that next Tuesday, he's going to start dropping Ukraine information. And this is going to start showing the open checkbook, the laundromat of sending money to Cyprus and then over to the Ukraine. They have a certain circle that they do, and that money goes in a back door. And we're talking, you know, the Kerry's, Biden's, Pelosi's, Romney's, just, you know, Republican and Democrat, Franklin Templeton with Adam Schiff, just a lot of backdoor money, a lot of grease.
Yeah. And people don't know it. And I guess they're too lazy to watch. Like today I watched, I was looking at some of the reports and everything. I mean, yesterday, you know, when they had when the Republicans get up there and his attorneys and everything, and they had the podium for once, and they were decimating Schiff and Nadler. They were shredding them. They were dicing them. And they were doing it calmly. They were giving the facts. They were giving the law. They were giving, these are the rules. This is what was done wrong. This is complete, and they're right. But a lot of the American public, they don't have the patience. And the Democrats, I think, are counting on that. That the American public is pretty stupid and doesn't have the patience to really sit down and think. They want it given to them. They don't want news. They want the opinion page. They want to be told what to think.
I was talking to Jane earlier, and I was mentioning, I said, have we heard anything? And like Trump has been investigated for 3 years and earlier, even before he got elected. And here he asks about investigating, and he gets investigated and impeached for asking about investigating corruption. Now, the interesting thing, I said, have you ever heard anything about James Biden, who suddenly decided, I'll start a construction company. No experience. A couple months later, he's building in Iraq, and he gets a $22 million deal across the Middle East, going all over the place. We have Frank Biden, his brother. Again, I want to start an energy company. I have no experience. Where does it sound familiar? Suddenly, he's in Costa Rica. He's in Jamaica. Jamaica, man, he's making bucks. Valerie Biden, their sister, she got another sweet deal. And, of course, we have Hunter. He's living in the Hollywood Hills now, and he has to go to court because he's been in contempt of not declaring what he's making for his baby mama, because baby mama hasn't gotten any child support from him, even though he's living in a $10,000 or $12,000 a month pad up in the Hollywood Hills. Now, the interesting thing is, all this is about getting information about Ukraine, and here the judge is saying, you need to give us information on what you made in Burisma and China and everything else the last 5 years. This is outside of, you know, Congress doesn't want to look at this, and here we have the stripper mom is getting the information. He has to give it up for her. And this is something I mentioned this to Jay, and she's like, well, we're not talking about this tonight. It's like, this is what it's all about, corruption in the Ukraine, corruption with the, you know, the deep state. And, you know, what's funny is the only thing they have right now is the media. Like, after our show tonight, Jane will probably label this show as in Donald Trump's corruption in the Ukraine, and it's getting exposed. She will label this show an anti-Trump title no matter what comes out of this.
It always does. That's okay. You know
what I've noticed? A lot of the people that are because I sit back. I try to be obvious. You try to be objective about it. But even when you try discussing with somebody that has become a member, and they don't even realize it, a member of the anti-Trump club, it's become a cult. Cannot say anything that'll shake, that'll rattle the foundation of their beliefs. What they've been indoctrinated, it's so ingrained in them now that they refuse to listen to it. It would be like some of the diehard Germans, the party members in 1945, with the shock on their face when they lost the war. oh, wait a minute, how could this happen? The Fuhrer told us that we were going to win it.
Yeah.
Where they believed so much, and they really, they put their heart and soul into believing, but what they believed were lies.
I've seen a lot of that. People just have no idea what other people think.
No idea.
Yeah, I had a question. Is it true, like I've heard it pointed out, that it just seems like the FBI will not investigate Democratic leadership? And do you guys think that's true, and why? So.
It's definitely at least half true. They're slow walking because Tom Fitton at Judicial Watch has had incredible amounts. Even last December, the judge ordered Hillary Clinton to answer four questions. Who set up her servers? Who authorized?